The best League of Ireland podcast in the business. Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store. This is Off the Ball.
Niall O'Driscoll, welcome back to the Off the Ball League of Ireland podcast. Niall, how are you?
Not bad, Jamie. Good morning to you. That was good to talk to you.
Yes, thanks for having a chat, Niall. Now, before we speak about this new role for Pádraig, who we're going to speak to in a few minutes' time, the last time we spoke to you on the podcast was around the time when you actually secured control of the club back in July, and we're almost, I suppose, we're 9 months into your role now as the club's owner. How would you reflect on how things have gone? Because it's definitely a much more positive feel to the club overall.
Well, I think you asked me the question when we got in day one, what did we know about running a National League football club? And I think the answer I said to you was nothing. But we'd learn very quickly and see how it goes. So the last couple of months has really just been tidying up and trying to put in the infrastructure to try and build a football club. That's basically it. And, you know, I'm sure everyone's aware, you know, we've cleaned it out the best we can. You know, we've started to build a squad that we hope will achieve something and sort of get everybody involved in the club. And that's really where we're at the moment. Obviously, we've done a lot of work over the break and we're up and running now for the 2019 season.
Yeah, let's talk about the stuff on the pitch first, Niall. And when you came in, the club were in real trouble at the bottom of the Premier Division. Unfortunately, when Gary Cronin came in and it wasn't his squad, he was unable to save the club from relegation, and you did finish bottom of the table. What were your first priorities once you discovered that the club were going down?
Well, I think there's two things in that. One is we probably got a bit of criticism in terms of the manager. A lot of people expect us to employ sort of an established manager to do all of this. We took a very long-term view, as you know, and we wanted a young, talented manager and give him time to go build a club. So, whilst we were all disappointed to be relegated, you know, sometimes you have to step back in order to go forward, you know, and that's sort of the view we took. And certainly now Gary's assembled his own squad with a mix of experience and young players, and they're starting to show sort of progress week on week, which is great.
Yeah, and things this season have started really well. A win last night in the EA Sports Cup against Wexford, a 3-2 victory, and two wins from two in the league, two clean sheets and five goals scored as well. So you've got to be happy with the start to the new campaign.
Ah, yeah, you know, yeah, absolutely. But, you know, football is very fickle. We all know that the difference between winning and losing is the swing of a foot, you know what I mean? So, but yeah, they've done well. And last night was great, particularly because we were able to get a lot of the fringe players on the pitch, get game time. Like Huey Douglas returned last night, which was a big plus, particularly from the injury he had last year. We've young Andy McGovern back playing now. So these are all pluses that have come out of the last sort of week or so, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and fantastic to see big Huey Douglas with the captain's armband on last night as well. I spoke to him in around the time when the injury first happened, and it's really good to see him back at the club and back on the pitch as well. And Niall, over 1,000 at the league win over Limerick, and over, I think, just over 400 there at the EA Sports Cup game last night as well. So I know you know involvement with Ardmore Rovers in that first league game as well, and getting more people in the gates of the Carlisle grounds and making it a place that people want to go and watch football again.
Yeah, exactly. And I think you hit the nail on the head there. This is about, you know, inclusion. You know, it's about getting everybody to come to Friday night football and Monday night football as well as last night. And it's really about, you know, getting kids, you know, people know my background. I have very strong views in, you know, kids will bring parents to games. And I think long term that builds, you know, we now have 15 kids who bang drums at every single game, you know, and there's a bit of an atmosphere and there's more kids coming and they're dragging parents. And yeah, we were caught a little bit in the hop with the attendance on the opening home game, which was over 1,000, which was super. And like for an EA game last night, 425 or whatever it was, again was super, you know. And this is through the local clubs, don't get me wrong, this is through the local clubs, it's through engaging with different groups out there and just trying to get people to come to games.
And Niall, in terms of the ground itself, what have you guys done to it to make the place itself a nicer place for people to go to watch football?
Well, you know, the Carlisle grounds is the Carlisle grounds, and all we've done is tidy it up, clean it up the best we can. Like, we are limited on resources on that one. Like, it would be lovely to have a pot of money and put in all the state-of-the-art facilities, but we are where we are. You know, it has a fabulous tradition. It's clean now. You know, you have nice clean toilets. You can get a nice cup of coffee. You can get a bit of food. You know, you won't get pissed on when it's raining now because the stand is all perfect and stuff like that. So it's really about trying to make the match day experience, you know, competitive to the alternatives that exist out there for everybody, you know, and that's really all we can do in the current climate, you know what I mean? And we'll review that at the end of the season and see how it goes, and we've applied for a few sports capital grants and things like that. So, you know, if we get a few bob there, well, we can keep chipping away and improving as it goes.
Yeah, and if that few bob does come now, there were reports about the possibility of turning the pitch into an AstroTurf. Is that something you're considering?
Yeah, it's something we looked at. You know, personally, I prefer grass. That's just a personal view. But the logistics of all weathers now means the facility's open 365 days a year, and you know, as opposed to 30 or 40 days. And you know, the cost of maintenance and the savings on all weather hire and for underage academy teams and stuff are substantial. So from a financial point of view, it makes massive sense. You know, and that's something we look at. Now it's early; it's only a thought process at this stage. But I think, you know, if it's the right decision to make, we'll make it quite quickly.
So effectively, that means as well that your 13s and 19s can all train there, play there. Your first team can train there and play there, and it means that the stadium is the home of all of the club's teams.
Yeah, absolutely. But more importantly than that, it means Bray have an all-weather pitch for the use of all their community clubs, for schools and everything, which doesn't exist at the moment. And that's even a bigger issue. You know what I mean? There's nothing in Bray or the surrounding areas. You know, there's no FIFA standard pitch available for the Ardmore Rovers, the local clubs, all of these. And so it's available to all of those as well. Because you're quite right, the academy teams and the first team, they'll only be using it for so much, you know what I mean? There's a lot of free space there, and we get back with club finals and we get all this sort of stuff. So all that is on the cards then, which I think, you know, helps us attract people into the ground.
And Noel, do you have a timeline as to when that might happen?
Well, the timelines are key on this. You know, it can't happen until the last game this season. So, you know, will we be ready to do it by then? If, you know, so there are key dates. You know, we'd love to say that we could start it on that day and have it ready for pre-season next year. You know, that would be, if you're going to do it, the right time to do it. But there's a lot of hurdles to be jumped before that one can happen, to be honest. Do you know what I mean? But the people have been very good. We've had great support from the council, great support from the local community, which is super. You know what I mean?
Noel, just the last one on the Carlisle before we speak about the new role for Pádraig as well. And had this debate on the podcast last week and just about the night the clubs play on. And I know before your time as the Bray owner and chairman, the club tried to play on Saturdays for a year and went back to Fridays again. And like, I'm working in the media and I mainly have to cover a Premier game every week because it's the Premier League, right? And on the year that Bray played on the Saturday, I was at every single Bray home game because I wanted to go and see other games as well. What's your thoughts on just other clubs, particularly in the First Division and clubs around Dublin, the likes of Shells or Bray or whoever, trying, you know, a night that's not a Friday where it's not a direct clash with the other Premier clubs around the area?
Yeah, well, you're right. It's about choices for the people who want to watch games. The problem I think most clubs have is that there's such a volunteer aspect to all of these clubs. And it's funny, last night we ran a game on Monday, and a lot of people who were helping us normally on a Friday, you know, they're married, they have kids, and they have school runs and everything on a Monday night. We actually struggled a bit last night. It was the first time, actually, it was quite noticeable. So I think the resource the clubs have, particularly if they're in the volunteer space, Friday night is an obvious one. Because Saturday, you know, they have their family dues and their family commitments or whatever, and it's just harder to get volunteers. And it also clashes with people who are involved in local football and running teams and doing all of that. So you're right, it is an interesting one. You know, I don't know if it's one that we're going to solve, but all we can do is sort of, Fridays probably suits best for us in terms of the volunteers and the people who help us. You know, we have looked, I think we have a couple of games this year on Saturday. I think we'll be gaming against Shells in June. And we look at the dynamic of that and sort of make a call as we move. But, yeah, right, it is a good discussion. And from your perspective, as from the press and the publicity, it would make sense to sort of have more games scattered over more nights or days. And I think that would probably help the profile of the whole game, which really, in fairness at the moment, I think this year particularly, seems to have taken a big jump, which is good.
Yeah, it is indeed. And I think as well, like particularly in the summer, I remember last season, Cabinteely had to play a couple of games on Saturdays because of clashes with rugby and stuff in Stradbroke. And like a Saturday evening in the sunshine in Stradbroke, sitting on the bleachers over there, and I'm sure the same in the Carlisle, it was a nice place to watch football, and, you know, for people and for families as well. It's just something I think clubs might have a look at and just see. But listen, if Bowes are playing Rovers on a Friday and we're playing in the Dublin area, why not try it on a different night, particularly in the summer or an afternoon, Saturday or Sunday, and just see how it goes?
Yeah, and I also think it depends on the type of supporter base you have. Like, you know, Bray is all about the family and young kids and stuff. And we've actually looked at Sunday afternoons being a key.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, a lot of families get together, they go out for the day out. So you're right. We look at it and see how it goes. And Bray does have the attraction that, you know, a Sunday game is great and you're on the seaside and you have the amusements. And you have, so it does have a different dynamic than a lot of the other clubs, you know what I mean? And that's something we'll just, you know, I suppose this year really is about learning for us and sort of tweaking as we go, you know what I mean?
Now, lastly, Bray Wanderers unveiled its Access for All inclusion programme last week, and we're going to speak to Pádraig Moore, your Disability Access Officer, in just a second. Just explain to us where this idea has come from. I know it's being pushed by the FAI as well, and you had John Delaney down with you last week in one of the local schools to launch this programme.
Yeah, well, I must say I wasn't hugely aware of sort of all the work they do at UEFA and FIFA levels at sort of the Disability for All. This really came from our view is that we want to make Bray accessible for everybody, and we're very lucky to have the likes of Pádraig involved in the club. Pádraig came to us a while ago, sort of asked us, can we improve facilities, can we do certain things, and I said, well, fair enough, Pádraig, off you go. So if you want to change things, you know, no better man than Pádraig to do it. And, you know, he was delighted to accept the position, and we were delighted to support it. And it sort of has taken legs from there, and Pádraig, you know, is behind the whole launch. And getting John there, the school involved, I'll give him huge credit on this one. You know, we were just sort of rowing in behind him, giving whatever support he needs. And our view is very simple. You know, everyone should be able to come down to Bray Wanderers and watch a game, irrespective of colour, race, disability, whatever it may be. And why not?
Yeah, the last part of your quote on the website and all is really interesting and really nice. It says, this will empower disabled people to take their rightful place in the world of football, be it as spectators, volunteers, players, coaches, administrators, leaders or decision makers. And we're going to speak to Pádraig in a moment as well, and he's making the same point that anybody who wants to come to the Carlisle grounds, whether it be man, woman, child, disabled person, foreign person, whoever they might be, their first ever match in the League of Ireland, that they can go and they can be welcomed there and they can feel safe there and accepted there and also comfortable to watch a game.
Well, if you actually think of what you've just said there, I would sum it up that every person in this country, world, is entitled to the same benefits as everybody else. And why should we not be there for that?
Yeah, and in terms of the role you've been able to create for Pádraig as well, and I know the FAI have been involved, and like, is this a full-time role for him, and is this being part-funded by you guys?
Well, in fairness, it probably is. It's a full-time volunteer role.
I understand, yeah.
I think Bray is all about the volunteers, and we all think it's all part-time, whatever, but I think that evolves into the full-time. But yeah, no, Pádraig has his own jobs, and he's involved in the Sports Council, he's involved in East Coast Radio, he's involved in a whole load of things, and you know, just because of a disability, you know, it doesn't mean, you know, you suppress an absolutely intelligent mind on the drive by somebody who has it. Absolutely not. Like, you know, he could probably teach a few of us what to do, to be honest with you, you know. And but a great character and demanding of equality, and you have to admire the man for that.
Yes, indeed. Niall, finally, you mentioned about it being a part-time, full-time volunteer role for Pádraig as well. From your own point of view, 9 months into your job now as the Bray owner and chairman and, you know, a main man behind what the club is doing, also owning your own O'Driscoll O'Neill Insurance Company and involved in St. Joseph's Boys, how is your life now that you have a League of Ireland football club to run as well as the other stuff?
A little bit difficult. Still learning to delegate, which is difficult at times, you know. But in fairness, there's some great people behind, and I think that, you know, it's just a matter of delegating it out. And you know, but it's important to get the structures right, and that does take a bit of time. But yeah, is it taking more time? Absolutely, it is. Is it good fun? I hope it will be. You know, it's hard work at the moment, but hopefully we'll see the rewards sort of over the season and in the long term. But it certainly, like, the linkage between Joey's, the local clubs, Bray. There's a lot of synergy and sharing of resources, which when you look back in the structures of football in Ireland, it makes a lot of sense to have these type of, you know, player pathways. And I'm not talking about player pathways, but more club pathways. You know, sharing of volunteer resources. Like, it does make sense for clubs to have, you know, four financial controllers when one can combine, you know. And I think that will be the challenge to a lot of clubs going forward.
You have to be proud, Niall, of what you've achieved in such a short period, though.
Yeah, but remember, it's the club belongs to Bray. You know, I'm only the minder for a couple of years, and I, you know, we all, one thing is certain, we all come into the world one way and go out the same way. So, you know, when we're here, we mind and we leave it on for the next generation. It's no different than I was in Joey's, and there was the Brendan Harmers and Father McCabe's, and I stepped in, and there will be another generation going through there. And Bray is exactly the same. You know, I just hope Bray gets the football club it deserves.
Great stuff, Niall O'Driscoll. Thanks a million.
And it's always a pleasure. Keep the faith.
Yeah, great stuff there from the Bray Wanderers chairman, Niall O'Driscoll. Now, from Niall to the man who is the new Bray Disability Access Officer and a man who's been around Bray Wanderers for years and years and years as a fan and as a journalist covering games for the radio for East Coast FM. I'm very happy to welcome Pádraig Moran to the Off the Ball League of Ireland podcast for the first time. Pádraig, thanks for having a chat. Now, before we speak about your new job, just tell us a little bit about yourself, your involvement in the club as well.
Yeah, so Jamie, I've been around the League of Ireland a long, long time, and thanks for having me. I started supporting Bray in 1990, the same as Cup Final on Lansdowne Road, where John Ryan scored that infamous hat-trick. So the club is part of my family, it's part of my life. So delighted to be involved with them in this way. As you say, I'm an athlete, I'm a two-time Paralympian. I'm a world champion in the sport of boccia. I have cerebral palsy, which affects my muscle coordination and balance, so that's my condition. I also play para wheelchair soccer for DCU as well.
So Porrick, just explain to me exactly what this job actually is as the Disability Access Officer for Bray Wanderers. It was launched last week in conjunction with the FAI, and the owner Niall O'Driscoll was there at a school locally, and the FAI Chief Executive John Delaney as well, and it's the first club to kind of make this official appointment and really give us an insight into what you guys are going to do. So just explain to us how you got the job and exactly what it's going to look like and entail.
I'm delighted to get the role. I started this back last August, and when I got my training from Oisin Jordan and John McGuinness in the FAI, I came back to Niall and he said, right, off you go, tell me what you want. So I audited the Carlow grounds. I looked at what we needed to do. So one of the first things I identified was to improve the wheelchair area and enclose it, because obviously, you know yourself, Jamie, on a winter's night down in Bray, if that wind is blown in, you're going to get wet. So we're enclosing the wheelchair area. We're in the middle of doing that. We're sorting out the accessible toilet. That needed a bit of work done on it. We're doing that as well. And it's a very, very simple thing, I guess. We're providing blankets for people with additional needs. So be that if they're in a wheelchair and they're cold, we have blankets to, you know, look after them. In terms of the other aspect of my role, I'm delighted that I'm going to be going in schools in County Wicklow to roll out the accessibility programme, because obviously some additional needs are visible, or invisible rather. So I'm delighted that I'm going to go out to schools. If I could pick my favourite job, this would be it. I've done stuff like this before with an inclusive sports programme, so this part of the job I absolutely love. Now, one of the coolest things we're doing is we're giving everyone in County Wicklow with additional needs a free season ticket, just purely to get them into the League of Ireland, because disabled people are one of the world's largest minority groups, and access to sport and facilities isn't great. So if we can do that and we can get people into the ground and with additional needs where there is no access, there is no barriers, that's what I want my role to be about.
And Porrick, Bray Wanderers are the first club to make this appointment, as I mentioned. How does that feel for you, given you've been around the club for so long, and you mentioned yourself about, you know, the sports that you've played across your life and the difference that has made for you as a person with cerebral palsy, and as well about some of the invisible disabilities that some people have, and you want to welcome them all to Bray Wanderers, to the Cardall grounds, and you'll be a centrepiece of that now.
So again, to be the first club to do this, it's massive. The other clubs are going to have to follow us now, and I think for me to have the CEO of the FAI, John Delaney, come out to our launch in Marino School last week was massive. He's been very supportive to me over the years in terms of making my job in the stadium a bit easier as well. So to have him there was massive as well. But to be the first to launch it, that's really special, because now it's going to make the other clubs follow us and look at their grounds and see what they can do. What we've done is very, very simple, but those changes will make a big difference. In terms of the club, it's just positive energy. It's positive PR. You know, it's going to be saying to people with additional needs, we can go there. There is no difference. There is no barriers. We're equal. And that's what I want to do. I don't want any barriers in the Carlow ground or within Bray Wanderers that someone will say, I can't go watch them. I want everyone to say, that ground is brilliant, because Bray don't have barriers. So if I can achieve that, that's my role.
Porrick, lastly, the club in recent years, you know, we have to say, hasn't had a good rep, hasn't had a good news line to it really at all in terms of what's gone on previously, and that's totally gone now. And we've just spoken to Niall since they've taken over in the middle of last year. The club has transformed totally on the pitch, off the pitch, etc. Appointments like yours are a great example of that, more involvement in the community and stuff as well. where do you see the club now and where it can go to? Because there's a real positive vibe around it at the moment, for sure.
Just in terms of where we're going, the club at the moment is amazing. I don't like going back into the past because I can't change it. Well, since Niall and Tim have come in, it's a different club. The ethos is different. He's got the club to engage. He's got the community to engage. It's just, Bray is a family club again. It's somewhere you want to go. I was down there last Sunday, Sunday week before the season started, at the cleanup, just chatting to people. And that's amazing, because that didn't happen for the last couple of years. So it's all good. It's all positive. We've got a great chairman in Niall. You know, we couldn't ask for a better custodian of the club. 1,000 people at the game in Limerick on Friday night. 427 at a League Cup game on a Monday night is massive. And I think a stat that I realised last night, that attendance of 427, that was... last season, that took us 4 league gates to get to 427 for some games. So you just look at the turnaround there. He's doing all the right things, and everyone just loves to be back involved.
Pádraic Moran, thanks very much for having a chat, and the best of luck for the rest of the season and in your new role as the Disability Access Officer with Bray Wanderers. Thanks, Pádraic.
Off the Ball's League of Ireland podcast, brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.